Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 3rd, 2022, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter forward to the second edition. We're on page XVII and we're going to study paragraph 2 today, and it begins with a second small group promptly took shape and ends with the dark world of the alcoholic. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry H., the 12 traditions, Linda B. Reading the text today and support in other areas are Dion R. and Shelley E. Fran V., as in Victor, will greet newcomers at the end of the unrecorded hour meeting, and Lois P. will give announcements today. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that would be Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022, is 18629, 18,629. And then this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Thursday, March 3rd, 2022, is, let me rephrase that. I think that the March 2nd, Thursday, 10 a.m. share ID number is 18624, 18,624. And then the share ID number for this morning is 18629, 18,629. Thank you for that opportunity to correct that. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence, and then the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Terry H., standing in for Rhonda from Atlanta. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm glad to be here. Number one, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except where to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, taught through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Melanie, for your service, and thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be of service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. Terry H. is from Florida. I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie, and good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Linda B., recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for this opportunity to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Linda B. from Canada. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. And please use the star 1 key function only for your muting purposes. Thank you so much. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Forward to the Second Edition on page XVII. And we're unpacking today paragraph 2 that begins with a second small group promptly took shape and then ends with the dark world of the alcoholic. What I'd like to do is ask Dion R. to read that paragraph and unpack it according to her experience with it, and then we'll open it up for additional comments on that. Thank you so much, Dion. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Melanie, again, and to everyone on the line. I am Dion R., a recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. A second small group promptly took shape at New York, to be followed in 1937 with the start of a third at Cleveland. Besides these, they were scattered alcoholics who had picked up the basic ideas in Akron or New York, who were trying to form groups in other cities. By the late 1937, the number of members having substantial sobriety time behind them was significant to convince the membership that a new life had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. Truly. Yes, yes, yes. As I say, who I am, I belong here. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but very grateful when I look at this is the history of our fellowship and how it's just the beginning. It says, you know, a small group took shape, right? And then from there, another one, like one was on the east side, then one was like over in Ohio, right? And then, then it began to grow. It's like the little thing that just grow. You give it away and it multiplies. you know, and you keep it for yourself. That's a good thing about it. But the thing is, the word was getting around. The word was getting around in the 1930s that there was a solution that people like me, I'm not saying the solution was there before. I'm sure it was. I just couldn't hear it all today, I'm saying. I could hear the solution through 12 steps. Of Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that, so in turn, Overeaters Anonymous. I could hear the solution a lot clearer. And I'm not saying, like I said, it began to grow with other people who had the addiction similar to mine back then. And I like that part when it says a new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholics, the near compulsive overeating. A new world, a new light. Oh my goodness, what a new world. But a new light, you know, the light of God to me. And in the beginning, if I didn't, it was something attractive. Of course, the God word kept keeping me back, pushing me back. That was my self-defeating, kept me in the darkness for long. But the more I kept following the light of recovery, the light of the friends in recovery gave me, the more my heart opened, that hardness melted. I followed the direct. I kept it simple, and I still do. Keep it simple no matter what. I'm still trying to find that light, and sometimes I'm just supposed to be the light. Just sit there and be the light and be an attraction because of physical things. But at times, I can still see the light and want to carry the light. And what's more beautiful to see the light go on to another person? I thank God for Bill and the many of those back then and started that light or grab hold to the light and put it in language of the heart that this alcoholic, I mean, recovered compulsive overeater and recovered alcoholic can hear today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me be a part of the solution. And I am, that's all I have. Look forward to hearing what everyone else has to share. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Dion R. from Ohio. Appreciate that. Now the lines are open for additional comments. Paragraph 2, page XVII, forward to the second edition. If you're interested in commenting on that paragraph today, I'd love to take your first name, the first initial, your last name, and your state. And although we do value your experience very much, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. So I am ready.
Jody. Catherine Noel E.
Jody E. I heard a Catherine. And then I heard a Noel.
Noel E., not Jody E.
I heard a Jody E. too. Thank you, Kathy.
Sorry.
Noel. Yeah. No. Yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, let's start with those three. Hey, Jody E., you're up first from California, then Catherine, you'll go after Jody, and then Noel.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. Mm-hmm. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. Well, I can't help but think about this particular meeting, A Vision for You. Because in my long experience in OA, it was this meeting that was the new light that entered my dark world of the compulsive overeater. On this meeting, I heard so many people say that they were recovered. And that was such a breath of fresh air. Wow, recovered from compulsive overeating. I guess I had never felt that I was. And even though I had had substantial spiritual experiences, very substantial, and I knew that I was where I needed to be, I had yet to find a fellowship like this book describes, a fellowship of people who had recovered and that were using this book which I sensed was what I needed from the very first time I ever read it. So that's how I feel today, that we are in a renaissance of Overeaters Anonymous. I think the pandemic has actually helped us too by creating new meetings online and more telephone meetings, and we just have more connection than ever. But this particular meeting that studies the big book and that talks about entire abstinent abstinence as being a requirement to really truly work the steps effectively is that new light for me that entered my dark world right when I needed it most. And I'm so very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Jody's from California. Next up is Catherine M. from North Carolina. Good morning, Catherine.
Hi, this is Catherine M. I'm a compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. And one of the things that I've started doing recently, because I hear other people doing it as we study the big book, is just looking up some of the words that are used to describe different things. And so I just looked up new light, or looked up light, and it said a natural agent that stimulates and makes things visible. And then I looked up dark, which is obviously, you know, the opposite of that. It's gloom and gloominess. And as I have recommitted to the steps and working through everything again, the harder I work and the more commitment I put into it, I feel like I am beginning to get some new light. And, you know, just the trying to get away and from the dark world and the progression of my illness and the unmanageability and everything that is really what I think of when I think of being in a dark world. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Catherine M. from North Carolina. Hey, Noel, you're up next, Noel E. And then after 3 minutes when Noel is done, we're going to open it up for additional comments on paragraph 2, page XVII, forward to the second edition. Hi, Noel.
Hi, thank you for your service. It's Noel E., gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. Thank you, Dion and Jody and Catherine, for your shares, too. Beautiful. Powerful. What I'm looking at in this paragraph, the words that are standing out to me are, you know, small, scattered, basic. You know, even they were trying to form groups. I have that little line highlighted. You know, like they're not words like, you know, like we use to describe our higher power that are just so, you know, profound and steadfast and, you know, concrete or whatever. These are words of like sparks, you know, sparks of this whole thing that got this whole fire going. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the definition of light, because that is what I just been thinking about in these words. Like if you think about when the sun comes up, it's just little bits of things that you see right at first, you know, just things are slowly revealed. And that is exactly how my higher power knows that I learn. You know, I am a slow learner, but I can learn. And my spiritual experience is of the educational variety, and I am so grateful for it, because I believe that if I had everything at once, it would be too much, you know. I absolutely can see that I'm loved for who I am, exactly as I am, by the way God reveals the next right thing to me, just moment to moment. And it's in small steps. It's in basic ideas. It's in scattered experiences throughout my life that just are evidence of my higher power being, you know, beyond my consciousness, but there, even when I was a 9-year-old little girl. I mean, it's the higher power I love today, right there holding me in the palm of their hand. So, I'm so grateful for the light that this program of recovery has been, because of such a gift from this fellowship and my loving higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Noel E. from Louisiana. The lines are now open for additional comments on page XVII, forward to the second edition, unpacking paragraph 2 today. If you'd like to comment on that paragraph, I'd love to take your name, first edition, for last name, and your state. And although we do very much treasure everyone's experience here and sharing on that, we do ask that you share about every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. Thank God we are a big meeting, big, big meeting. Who's up first?
I'd like to share, Melanie. This is Larry G.
I heard you, Larry, but I heard someone just before you, and I didn't quite
hear it. Barbara S.
Oh, hi there, Barbara S. Gotcha.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Larry. Got you second. Anybody else today?
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Mm-hmm. Anybody else today?
Phil M.
This oh, hi, Phil.
Judy.
Good morning.
Illinois.
I'm
and Judy. Judy from Illinois. Okay. Okay, good. Let's go with that lineup. That sounds great. So far, right now, this lineup is Barbara S., Larry G., Tamara C., Philomena, Phil, and Judy. You're up first, Barbara. Good morning to you.
Hi, I'm Barbara S. from New York. I'm glad to be on this line. I'm very grateful for OA. I feel I'm moving slowly over many years in program, but I see the light more each day. So I'm thankful for that, and I'm claiming my seat, or am I claiming my phone place? So thank you. I pass. Bye.
Thank you very much, Barbara S. from New York, I believe you said you were. Larry
yes.
G., you're up next for three. Oh, hi. Good. Good deal. Thank you. And then Larry G. from California, you're up next. And Tamara, you'll follow right behind Larry after three.
Good morning, Mel, and all my beloved Vision members. My name's Larry G. from California. Oh, what a great reading. I had never read the foreword before. I had never read the instructions in any book or the introduction. I've always just got into the reading of it, and this is just wonderful stuff. To me, this is about fellowship. And I know maybe there's other people on this call who outside of a 12-step program have experienced fellowship. I've experienced fellowship playing sports. I've experienced fellowship in playing Division I sports, professional sports. There's nothing grander than a group of athletes that are driving to a single goal, like a championship. And when all that was over, I plunged into a dark world in which alcoholism and boy, it was dark. I just didn't want to live, and I had lost all hope in life until I went to my first meeting in August 2nd, 1981, and I experienced fellowship that I had never experienced before, not even on the field of play. I couldn't wait to get to AA meetings. I couldn't wait to meet with my sponsor. He would take me. We would meet convicts being released from prison. We would go and do H&I work. We would go to panel discussions. We would go to 12 a.m. candlelight meetings. It was exhilarating. I've never experienced that before. And I haven't experienced that in OA. I've been to a lot of great fellowships, a lot of good fellowships in OA, but nothing like Vision. I feel alive. I can't wait to get on this call. I can't wait to talk to new people in this program, to talk to my sponsor, to talk to recovered members. I feel like we've got something here that is so special. And we are on this call today, breaking one small little paragraph at a time, hearing 12, 15 people, different perspective on this, recovered members, recovering members, the vibration of having 200 or 300 people on this call. It is an adventure that I was yearning for, I was longing for, and the pandemic led me to this. My Ebby was a vision member, one of the original members of this Vision group that 12-step named the Visions. I didn't even know this person. I met this person by chance. She was a keynote speaker at one of her birthday parties here where I live, OA birthday parties, and just knocked the ball out of the park. I heard something that I was not hearing. Maybe my ears were closed and finally were open. And it wasn't until 5 months of plunging into hell, the torturous, slow death of compulsive eating. I picked the phone up, got her number, called her, and she said, one thing, I want you to be on this call on Monday morning. And it was a Sunday night. You know what I said to myself? Here I'm dying, and I'm still arrogant. I said to myself, not another fucking meeting. I need another fucking meeting. I need the secret recipe. Just give me the secret recipe. And she gave me the secret recipe. She led me to this meeting, and it's just been an adventure ever since. Thank you for I passed.
Thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Tamara C., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Phil, you'll follow Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm grateful to be recovered, and I'm from California. And I'm so glad I get to share on this because I have this heart on the margin of that page because that's one of my all-time favorite lines about the light entering the dark world of the alcoholic. And just reminds me that in my disease, it's such a dark place, such a very dark place. When I came back from relapse, at one meeting I was sitting in, someone to my left, who was a newcomer, just tearfully shared her pain and described it as a dark place. And I was just so choked up with emotion because that was so fresh for me. I knew that dark place. And then right after her, the person to my right shared, and it was a woman who had 30 years. And she just gently, peacefully shared about her freedom. And I was just, my heart was thrilled with hope. And whenever I read that line of the light shining on the dark place of my disease, it just feels so thrilling to me. My dark place in my disease is not just with the food, but with my life, with my feelings, with myself. Just never enough food, never enough me, never enough feeling like I can handle this life. And so I am so, so grateful for this program, for everyone who has ever shared on the meeting, who has made a phone call to me, taken a phone call from me, guided me through the steps, shared their experience, strength, and hope. Just all of you are a part of that light in my dark world. And now I can't believe I get to step out into the sunlight of the spirit and be free from the food obsession and free from this self obsession and just have this new way of living that feels so, so peaceful and beautiful. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. from California. Philomena from Ireland. Phil, I'm so sorry. I keep doing that. Good morning. You're 3 minutes from now, and then Judy will follow.
Oh, it's fine, Melanie. Thank you very much. I answered to any name, really. More than happy. And I, like everyone else, I think the highlight from that particular reading was the new light has entered the dark world of the alcoholic. And boy, did I need that light. Before I came into OA 10 years ago, I had got to 211 pounds, 15 stone. And I got abstinent 6 weeks later, but I made the mistake, as a lot of people have, that thinking that abstinence was recovery. But reading the big book again, I found that abstinence is only a beginning, just the beginning, that's all, and that recovery is much, much deeper. 7.5 years in OA, I never managed to bring anyone through the steps or to help them at all. I desperately wanted to. I think I wanted the importance, but I also wanted to help others. But I only managed to guide someone through to step 5. That was all. Amazing, beautiful woman, and I was so frustrated. You know, I had some abstinence for a year and a half and released around 54 pounds, but put it all back on and more. And that was 5.5 years I had of slipping and sliding, torture. I had to come to the point where I thought, you know, well, some abstinence is better than no abstinence. And I kept coming back, and I'm glad that I did. I was introduced to Vision in September 2019, and I heard people saying that they were covered. I'm not sure if I introduced myself there as gratefully recovered. compulsive overeater, but I am. And I never thought that I would get to say that word, you know. And I was so moved the day that I could. It was just incredible to me. I had got to 261 pounds. I said on this meeting, it was recorded, that I got to 261 stone, which is 14 times that. But believe me, if I could have physically got to that point, I probably would have. And how dark was it? Yeah, it was pretty dark. I suffered from depression. I didn't want to be alive. I had bad reflux, so that I had to sit up in bed. Couldn't lie down to go to sleep. I had double incontinence. That's not pretty, but this is not a pretty disease. I'm very lucky I didn't get diabetes. I don't know how that didn't happen at all. I did have stage 4 cancer. It's almost 5 years since the end of the treatment. And in my experience, for me, this disease is worse than cancer. The treatment I got lasted for about a year. This I have had all these years, you know. And I'm so glad to be, you know, trudging this path with you all. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Phil. Phil M. from Ireland. Next up is Judy from Illinois. And then after her 3 minutes, we're going to open up the lines for additional comments. Paragraph 2, page XVII, 4 to the second edition in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Hey, Judy J., good morning to you. Your 3 minutes are now.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Judy J. from Illinois, recovering compulsive overeater. And what spoke to me today, because I've been in relapse, is the new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. And as I said, I've been in relapse. So that part of the paragraph really spoke to me. So I asked myself, what is my light? And it's here with the fellowship. And it's the way and the where I need to be. I need help. So I began working on this light that I wanted for myself. And I started calling fellows and saying, I need help. And oh my gosh, I cannot believe the wisdom and the experience that the ones who picked up the phone shared with me. I thank you for the ones I've talked to the last few days. It's given me the light in this darkness that you can be in with relapse. It's amazing to me how fast the disease just enters in to your world and just tells you, oh my gosh, you've relapsed, the shame and the guilt and all that. That's why I need fellows. To talk that through. So I appreciate everybody that worked so hard that they could share that their experiences with me the last few days. And I've gotten a lot of help. So I know my higher power is working with me and I continue on. I never left the rooms. I listened, but I didn't participate. That was my darkness. I didn't participate. Yeah, that's really all I've got to say. I just am so glad to hear about the light and that that all the fellows here can help me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Judy J. from Illinois. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page XVII, 4 to the second edition. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state. Hi, Babylonia.
This is Darcy from Nebraska.
Who from Nebraska?
Darcy.
Hi, Darcy.
Miriam.
What's the first initial of your last name? Darcy, what was the first initial?
Darcy M. from Nebraska.
Yeah. Thank you. Gotcha. And I got Miriam, too, J. from Massachusetts.
Did
okay.
you get Babylonia?
I did. Yeah, I got you first.
Okay. Oh,
Kim H.
Yeah.
from Rhode Island.
Hi, Kim. Kim, let's go with that one being the last one for right now. I might not be able to take you, Allison, from Vermont, but we'll see, okay? See what happens with the lineup here. I'll put you down. Okay, great. I have Babylonia, Darcy, Miriam, Kim, and then perhaps Allison. So you're up first, Babylonia. Just press star one real quick.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Barely. It's a little bit echoey.
Are you
on a speakerphone or something?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Oh, that's fabulous. Thanks for the adjustment.
Okay, awesome. So I love the line, light in the darkness. And what it reminds me of is God's light and how that becomes more available to us when we recover. And also the light that fellows bring into each other's lives because we practice a program of love and tolerance towards each other and selflessness and kindness and humility. And yesterday I read a line from the Big Book with my sponsor said, we carry God's will into all of our activities. And out of everything I read, it stuck out to me the most because it's not like we can't just connect with God when we feel like it and be self-reliant sometimes and not reliant and God-reliant other times. We need to be constantly connected with God 24 hours a day or else we'll fail. Not we'll fail, but it's just a part of our, it's like a part of our recovery. And it really spoke to me because that's how we shine our light is and have peace through the troubles and the circumstances and be that light for everyone else. And my feelings can't determine whether I want to connect with God or not. My faith determines that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Babylonia. Babylonia A from California. Next up is Darcy M from Nebraska. You're up for 3 minutes. And then Miriam, you'll follow Darcy in three. Darcy, star one, please, real quick.
I'm sorry about that. This is Darcy from Nebraska. I thought I was seeing the light, but actually a couple days ago, I was actually seeing a false light. I was seeing, a shadow or something, but I was actually going into darkness until I got honest with myself and I admitted to my sponsor that in one day that I was compulsively eating and I was trying to pretend to myself that I was being honest, but I was actually binging. And I felt like there was a darkness because I just felt like everything was closing in on me. And I was trying to convince myself. But as soon as I admitted to myself that I was not being honest, and I admitted to her, and I even placed the seed into another meeting that I was committing myself to being honest and being absent, the darkness started pulling away, and I could see that light again. And it was a clear light, and it wasn't shadowy. And so now I'm on, hopefully, day two. And I had a sense that a person from the group here, called me that day, and I had a sense that they were trying to get me to see that I was not being honest because they were talking and asking me questions and I just was not seeing it, or I was not being honest, and I don't remember who it was, but anyway, I think they were leading me to it, and I just was not catching on or whatever. But whoever that was, I don't know. Thank you, because I think you led me to the to being honest later on that evening. So with that, I'm going to say thank you to the group and thank you to whoever that was. I did become honest, and that was a first for me because I have not become honest like that before. And so Thank you, and thank you to the group. And with that, I will pass. Thank you for your services.
Thank you, Darcy M. from Nebraska. Miriam J. from Massachusetts, you're up for 3 minutes, and then Kim H. will follow you. Hi, Miriam.
Good morning. Good morning. Miriam J. from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater. Thank you all for being here this morning. This is my touchstone every day. This paragraph, the first thought I had was about the miraculousness, if that's a word, of this program, that, you know, one to another, small group in Ohio, small group in New York. And today, you know, there are multiple 12-step programs with thousands, millions, I don't know the number, but that's so divinely inspired for me. It just always just brings me to that place of awe. And so very grateful that I am a member of this 12-step world. The other thing is that I just want to chime in also that, you know, I'm a member of the original 12-step program, and I found fellowship, and I found guidance, and I found recovery. And then when I had to deal with my compulsive overeating, I went to face-to-face meetings, and I was in and out of abstinence, and I just couldn't get it. And then someone suggested this phone meeting, and I heard and I felt the recovery I felt in AA. And I haven't left since. I wish I could say I was abstinent since, but that's not my story. My story is today I am in recovery and so very grateful for everybody who put this particular OA meeting together, because for me, it has saved my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Miriam. Miriam J. is from Massachusetts. Next up, Kim H. from Rhode Island. And then get ready, Allison. I think there's time for you. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Kim H. It is so good to be here this morning. I wandered away for a week or two and really have missed the light. And it's so funny that today this is the paragraph to be read, because that's exactly what I was missing. And in my book, I have that. I have the number of members having substantial sobriety time behind them was sufficient to convince the membership that a new light had entered the dark world of the alcoholic. So it was pretty cool that today was the day that I called in. I am so grateful. I'm grateful for everyone in their service. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Kim H. from Rhode Island. Allison B. from Vermont. 3 minutes are yours, a full three.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
I can. Loud and clear. I'll let you know, though. You just jump in. Come in. Speak it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service and for all the shares. I'm Allison B. from Vermont. I am a recovering compulsive overeater. This is my first time sharing on this line, and I've been in the rooms for about a month and a half. I'm working the steps, and it's amazing how quickly the darkness can come in. And if I do the outreach and I keep working the steps, I do find that new light, and that new light is just so brilliant and so amazing. And I keep hearing people say they're recovered, and that's just so exciting to me. So I probably won't take the 3 minutes, because I just want to share my gratitude and claim my seat, but I really hear it and I believe it, and that darkness is not that far away from me. It's really close, and it can be really strong sometimes. I'm so grateful that I found this particular meeting, because I do feel like it's a renaissance of the steps and the program and the book and the original how it was written. So I'm just really excited to see what happens next, and really grateful for all of you on the line. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Allison. Well, it looks like time allows for at least one more 3-minute share. Would anybody like to take that time? As we finish out the recorded portion of this meeting and move on, star one, please.
Daisy B.
Oh, hi, Daisy.
Hi.
Gotcha. Three minutes are yours, madam.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. This is Daisy B., recovered compulsive overeater in California, although I'm listed under Massachusetts on the website. I've really been appreciating this conversation around darkness and light today, and this line in darkness and light. And what comes up for me is the brightness of light is really, how bright light is really in contrast to the darkness. And if I had a light on in the room in the middle of the day, it wouldn't appear that bright. But if the room was completely dark, it would appear very, very bright. And that's, you know, how I feel about my disease and my recovery today is, and why I can say I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater is because I want to honor the past today and the darkness from where I came from, which was so dark and so hard. But I also believe that if I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't have the light, the brightness of the light that I have in my life today. So I just wanted to share that. And that this, you know, it's easy for me to have a lot of binary thinking of there's God and no God. I can divide my whole life up into those sections. But I think there's really in recovery, there's a lot of wholeness. So thank you, everybody, so much for your wonderful shares. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you very much, Daisy B. There is time for probably a 1-minute share if you have a burning desire to comment on the paragraph before we head on to the unrecorded portion of the meeting. I'd love to take your name.
Janice K. has the...
Hi, Janice K. I'll take you for 60 seconds. Good morning to you.
And I will try to hold it down. Janice K. in Oregon. And as we're talking, I realize that I live on the boundary of dark and light because I'm an addict. I can live in resentment and anger and blame and self-will and self-reliance, or I can ask my higher power for the humility and the willingness to be of service where I find myself. And I get to decide on an ongoing basis, am I going light or am I going dark? Thank you for listening. Yes.
Thank you very much. That's a great way to end this morning. Appreciate it all. Appreciate all the shares this morning in this recorded portion of the meeting and for the service that everyone was involved in to make this particular meeting possible. Welcome to the month of March and the study of the Big Book from the very beginning. I'd like to now begin the process of closing so that we can get to the unrecorded portion of our meeting. And I'd like to ask Shelley E. to please read A Vision for You on page 164, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. But don't go, anybody. We have 10 more minutes left of great meeting.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater presently in San Antonio. Thank you for your service. Page 164, Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.